So I am a runner. I enjoy running. It's a passion of mine. And one morning when I headed out on the run, it was raining. So I didn't wear my prescription glasses, which usually fog up and get covered in water on damp days like that. And so midway through the loop, I saw two men emerging from the woods wearing trench coats, and they came out onto my path. One carried a shotgun, and the other was brandishing a pistol, both of which were prohibited in this park. Now, these guys were doing something illegal. I interrupted them. They saw me, and now they were headed straight for me. So my pace slowed, and my mind raced as they kind of blocked the path and continued toward me. I could run away, but I knew that wasn't going to work. I'm reasonably fast, but I'm not Superman faster than a speeding bullet fast, all right? So I started to panic a little bit. It was then that I drew close enough for my nearsightedness to enable me to see more clearly. They weren't carrying firearms at all. It wasn't a shotgun that one of the men carried, but rather it was a long umbrella because it was raining. The other man didn't have a pistol, but had a leash in his hand. Yeah, there was a little dog that I hadn't even seen yet. And they weren't wearing trench coats. They were actually wearing rain jackets. Here I was thinking it was all gangsta, and it turned out to be a couple of guys that looked more like Gorton fishermen walking a little dog. But it's amazing the difference a simple change in how we see things can make. A change in perspective enables us to see things that we didn't see before, or see the same things as before, but in a different way. When we start seeing things differently, we start doing things differently. So my prayer for our time together today is very simple, that God would give us a new and different perspective on how we see ourselves, how we see our purpose in life, and specifically, how we see the things that we do for enjoyment as an opportunity to help other people know and follow Jesus. My hope is that when we look at running and ultimate frisbee and watching movies and reading and grilling out and fishing and cooking and relaxing at the beach, that we see something new, something different, something more than just a way for us to enjoy ourselves, that these things can be holy endeavors. I'm praying that God will help us to see that we can turn our passion into our mission. So if you have your Bibles, if you would, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to be reading verses 17 through 21, primarily going to focus on verse 20 as a springboard to today's message. Those verses will also be up on a screen behind me if you want to read along there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, the Bible says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sin, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Now, we could spend several weeks here unpacking all those wonderful truths that are contained in that passage. But the thing that I want us to focus on is this: we who have put our faith in Jesus are new people with new identities as his ambassadors. This isn't a position that we've been appointed to. It's our identity. It is who we are. And as ambassadors, there is something that we're to do, namely to participate in the ministry of reconciliation and pass on the message of reconciliation. We have been given a treasure, and we are called as ambassadors to cherish it and share it and display it and invite people into it, and we are to gladly do it because life with Jesus is so precious to us. Now, there's a question that most of us ask at some point in our lives as we consider the purpose of our lives, and that is, why am I here? There is this hardwired desire in each of us to know the reason we were born and what we were made to do while we were here. And this is it. We are to become new in Christ and then invite others to join us in newness of life too. Now, you may say it differently than I do, but the words of my personal mission statement offer the basic meaning for the reason why God and His grace gets us up each morning. I exist to know Jesus and make Him known so that God is honored in us and we are happy in Him. So that's it. Starting with ourselves and spreading out to our circles of influence, we are after one ultimate objective, an honored God and happy people. Anything else is too small a thing to live for, but we can take the smaller things of life and use them for that purpose, which is what we're going to focus on today. Now, an ambassador is always from someone and to someone, right? You are sent from Jesus and sent to the specific people in your life, such as your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your teammates, and every other person you find yourself with, so that God can make an appeal for their hearts through you. Now, this appeal that's being made here through you and me is for people who have a broken relationship with God to come to Him and be restored because of what Jesus has done for us, and thus be free from the penalty and power of sin. We have been called to be ambassadors, wherever we are, whoever we're with, whatever we're doing. And as the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And today we're going to talk about one way to do that. Here's the main point that I want to unpack for us today. One of the ways we can carry out our mission as ambassadors for Jesus is through our passion for our favorite hobby, interest, or pastime. We can take the things we enjoy doing to fulfill our mission as people who are called to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus. And here's how we're going to get there. We're going to look at three things. Part one, your passion, where we'll consider what you do for recreation and relaxation. We'll spend the least amount of time there. Part two, we're going to look at your mission, which is where you'll take a closer look at your role in God's redemptive work in the world. We'll spend a little bit more time there. And then finally, in part three, we're going to look at how to turn your passion into your mission, where we'll see how those two things intersect and how you can use the things that you and others enjoy as a platform to point others to the greater and ultimate joy in knowing Jesus. And that's where we're going to spend most of our time. So let me begin by giving you a few thoughts about your passion. We are to represent Jesus Christ 24/7, which includes the time that we spend on relaxation and recreation. We are His ambassadors when we go to the gym. Our ministry of reconciliation extends to the golf course. God can make His appeal through us when we are working out or hanging out or grilling out. Christians are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His people, wherever we go, whoever we're with, and whatever we're doing. Now, there are three things that I want to mention about your passion that you can write on your sermon notes sheet if you have that in front of you. First, these are things that you love doing. These are things that you love doing. They could be painting, cooking, riding, fishing, water skiing, or scuba diving. They could be photography, board games, cookouts, or CrossFit. They could be flying drones, collecting sports cards, listening to music, hanging out in coffee shops, riding jet skis, cruising on the pontoon boat, or relaxing at the beach. Whatever non-sinful things you enthusiastically do for enjoyment falls into this category. These are your interests, pastimes, recreations, and hobbies. The activities that you do because you take delight in doing them. Second, these are things you are already doing. These are things you are already doing. You don't need to add something new to your already busy schedule. You can use what is already on your schedule. I mean, right now, most of us have activities that we engage in on a regular basis for recreation and relaxation, don't we? Whether that's daily, weekly, monthly, or some other frequency, there is this already established normal rhythm for us. So this isn't some kind of new thing that's going to disrupt the routines that you already have in place by adding in something else or crowding out something else. This is a transformation. You're going to turn something already on your schedule into something else. The old sinful life has passed away, but that doesn't mean all the old interests have. God can transform them into something new, just like he has transformed you into a new creation in Christ. And then third, these are things that you can do missionally. These are things you can do missionally. What I'm suggesting is simply this: that space on your schedule is holy. It's not just set aside for fun and games. It's set aside as a specific place and period of time that you can use to carry out your calling. That is, you can simply show up and show others what Jesus is like by being a faithful witness while doing the things you're already doing and the things that you love doing. You don't always have to choose between passion and mission for how you use your time. They can actually be one and the same. The new has come. New life in Jesus with a new identity and a new purpose and a new way of doing the things that you've been doing all along. Now, when we talk about your passion, I hope the thing that we all see is this: our hobbies and interests don't have to be in the way of God's plan. They can actually be a part of God's plan. Your zip code is not an accident. You live there, you work there, you play there, but God placed you there. He worked in ways that you could never comprehend to divinely position you right where you are at this very moment during this very season. Life didn't just take you there, he did. God has hardwired things into your DNA, brought about circumstances in your life, allowed you to pursue and enjoy interests, put other people around you, and brought it all together for eternal good. You were made for this. Listen, other people are going to participate in their hobbies, interests, and pastimes, aren't they? That's where the lost people are. You guys tracking with that? That's where the message of reconciliation needs to be heard. And you can join them as one means of being an ambassador for Jesus, from Jesus to those who love doing what you love doing. So that's a good place for us to move on from talking about your passion to talking about your mission. Your mission. You and I are ambassadors for Christ. That's who we are. But what is our mission as ambassadors? Look with me again at verse 20. Verse 20 says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Now, according to this verse, we can see two things. First, we are to be used as God's mouthpiece for him to make an appeal for the hearts of other people through us. We're to be used as God's mouthpiece. And then second, we are to plead earnestly with other people to be reconciled to God. We're to implore them. Listen to me. The reason you play golf is because God wants other golfers to know him. The reason you go fishing is because God wants other fishermen to receive eternal life in Christ. The reason you hang out at the beach is because God wants other sunbathers to find joy in Jesus. The reason you cook out or work out or hang out is because God loves the people around you. And he sent you. He wants to make his appeal through you. He sent you to be a messenger to share the incredibly good news with those people, just like he sent someone to share the incredibly good news with you. Really, what Paul is talking about here is what Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Our mission is to carry out the Great Commission. Jesus said this: "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, to make disciples based on what Jesus said there means to get people converted, baptize them, and then teach them to lovingly obey all that he commands. I added the word lovingly because Jesus said in John chapter 14, that's those who love him who obey his commandments. So through our words and our way of life, we're to model for others how to think and feel and act as a people whose love for and commitment to Jesus is growing. Here's a simple way to think about it: imploring people to put their faith in Jesus and imploring people to live out their faith in Jesus. We're to help others know, follow, and enjoy Jesus as they take steps in their walk with him. Now, whether that's someone who is the very first step, who's just met Jesus, or it's the very last step for someone about to meet Jesus face to face, we must continually encourage and equip other people to follow Jesus because the world is continually and encouraging and equipping them not to follow him. The bottom line is that you and I are on earth for a reason, and that reason is this. God has called us by his grace to know and make known Jesus by proclaiming his excellencies, his perfect life, his atoning sacrifice, his resurrection power, his heart for people, his message of love, his life-transforming hope, his gift of eternal life, his matchless grace, his amazing value, his endless joy, his immeasurable benefits, his imminent return, his soul-satisfying glory, his incredibly good news. God has graciously called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light so that we can return to the darkness and shine his light on other people. As ambassadors for Christ, we have been summoned into the most important work in the universe to spread the message and ministry of reconciliation as God makes his appeal for the hearts of people through you and me. We need to make it clear that life with Jesus is far better than life without him, and eternal life is only found through him. We will do this imperfectly, of course, but we rest in God's grace as we strive to make Jesus more visible in more areas of our lives. So that is your mission. Now, part three, let's look at this, turning your passion into your mission. So several years ago, my wife Paula and I, we were eating at a restaurant, and all I ordered was a steak, baked potato, and Texas toast. That's it. And it took forever to get my food. I mean, they brought Paula's food out. She waited a long time for mine to arrive before she finally had to eat her own because there was just no food for me. She had to eat it before it got cold, so she did. She ate all of it. My food still wasn't there, and I was actually wearing my glasses, so it wasn't a problem with my eyesight this time. The food really wasn't there. After we'd been there for almost an hour, I called our server over again, and I said, "What is going on with my food?" She replied, and I quote, "I'm so sorry for the delay, but only the manager can make Texas toast." And apparently he was on dinner break. Only the manager can make Texas toast, right? I'm looking around for cameras like this is a prank. Paula set me up. I mean, if you think about it, what kind of specialized training or certification or supervisory role, as it turns out, is required in order to put a piece of bread into a toaster? I mean, it was just almost unbelievable. But finally, she comes back and she says this. She says, "It's almost done. And here's what we're going to do because of the delay." Now, I'm thinking free meal, free dessert, free gift card. Oh, no, what I got was a free box. She said, "Since we made you wait so long, we're just going to bring it out in a takeout box so you can go ahead and leave now." I'm not making this up. I was like, I knew we should have gone to Chick-fil-A, right? I mean, here's where I'm going with this. When it comes to carrying out the Great Commission, there is a tendency to think that only pastors can make disciples, or only missionaries can make disciples, or only experienced Bible teachers can make disciples. Many people have this mistaken idea that some kind of specialized training or certification or upper level role is required in order to make disciples. But that's simply not true. Any follower of Jesus can do this, and every follower of Jesus has been called to do this. And what I'm building toward today is that your passion and your mission are not mutually exclusive, but rather they can and should share the same space. Or said differently, here is that summary point that we mentioned earlier today in a sentence. One of the ways that we can carry out our mission as ambassadors for Jesus is through our passion for our favorite hobby, interest, or pastime. Anything good that you love doing can be used to point people to the love of Jesus so that God is honored in them and they are happy in him. And that's how we're going to spend the rest of our time together as we consider what it looks like to turn your passion into your mission. But before we get into that, let me share two quick things. First, this was originally a one-hour training that I have shortened to the next 15, 20 minutes, all right? So to try to fit it into our normal message, didn't want to keep you here all day. So there's a lot more that needs to be said, And I'd encourage you to download the full training. It's available for free at jimmybrown.com. So check that out. Second, this is one way to carry out the Great Commission as an ambassador. It's certainly not the only way. There are many ways to make disciples and represent Jesus to the world, ranging from being a faithful witness in your home or workplace, to becoming a foreign missionary full-time, and everything in between. My ultimate encouragement is that you do something with your life, whatever it is that God leads you to do. So what I want to do now is share with you a basic framework for turning your passion into your mission, and it applies to just about any non-sinful shared interest that you have with other people. The whole idea in a nutshell is this: gather with people who share your passion so you can share Jesus. Now that involves three very simple steps, which I'll unpack with real examples of what we've done over the last 10 years and give you some ideas for what it might look like for you and your life here. In fact, these three steps are so simple that their explanation really only takes about a minute each. Here they are. Step one, select a location. Select a location. What did Jesus tell us to do in the Great Commission? Go. Go. Now, maybe he will send you to foreign lands, or maybe he will send you into this community that you live right now. But wherever you're going, you're to go with disciple-making on your mind. So go to the golf course. Go to the beach. Go to the patio. Go to the coffee shop. Go to the pier. Go and make disciples. Implore people to be reconciled to God. So in this first step, all you need to do is determine when and where you're going to participate in your activity. This could be at a gym for a workout, a local park for ultimate frisbee, a trailhead for a walk or a hike, a living room for movie or game night, a backyard for a cookout, a stadium parking lot for tailgating, a kitchen for cooking, a meeting room for a book club, or any of countless other interest-specific locations. So once you decide the place, you just need to set a time for the activity. Could be morning, afternoon, or evening. This could be weekday or weekend. It can be whenever is convenient to your schedule or whenever you're already doing the activity as a part of your normal regular schedule. At this point, you should have all the relevant details that you need to share with other people. For example, a cookout at Jimmy and Paula's condo, Sunday, September 5th, in our backyard, 6 o'clock. That's it. Step two. There's really not a cookout tonight, just so you know. Paula was looking at me like, we don't have food for all these people. Step two, send an invitation. Send an invitation. After you set the time and place for your activity, you'll want to reach out to the people that you think might be interested in joining you and ask them to attend. Of course, you can also encourage those who plan to join to bring someone with you, which will increase your gathering size even more. Depending upon the size of your venue and the nature of the activity itself, just be sure to invite the number of people that can be accommodated. Imploring people to be reconciled to God can begin with inviting them to a place where you're going to share the gospel, the message of reconciliation, which leads us to step three, and that is share a devotion. Share a devotion. This is the thing that transforms your passion into your mission. You point those people who are with you at a specific time, place, and activity. You point those people to Jesus by sharing a short devotional reading with them. When people are gathered, simply read a 1 to 5 minute entry from your favorite gospel-centered Bible devotional book. And in that one simple step, in that one little bit of time, you give God a gigantic platform to start conversations that he can work in the hearts of people who are in attendance. You don't have to prep a message or even write a word. Just read. We have been entrusted with the message of reconciliation, and this is one way to share it. And you're not going to find a much easier way to point people to Jesus. Anyone can do that. You guys tracking with me? Anyone can do this. So with that framework outlined for you, let me give you some ideas of what this might look like by sharing some real life examples of what we've been doing and, more importantly, what we've seen God do through these kinds of events. Example number one is Runner Church. We completed 7 years of doing this ministry in the Omaha, Nebraska area. We had hundreds, if not thousands, of runners attend our events. It started with just one new runner attending, and grew into a high season average of 30 to 40 runners, with as many as 90 runners gathered at a single meetup. We met twice per month on Sunday mornings during spring, summer, and fall at locations throughout Omaha that were frequented by runners who don't attend church because Sunday morning is a prime time to go running. My messages were usually about 10 minutes. They were something that I wrote myself, but again, you can read someone else's devotional in about a minute or two and the same thing can be accomplished. Then we invited people who showed up to come to a Bible study in our home on Sunday evenings. And of course, we invited them to come to church with us as well. By the time we left Omaha, there were over 600 people in the Runner Church community. And all of that started with the simple three-step process that I just shared with you. And God grew it from there. We saw people put their faith in Jesus, people grow in their faith in Jesus, and people start sharing their faith in Jesus because of that ministry. God graciously transformed lives. All this is from God, and He deserves all the glory. Location, invitation, devotion. Anybody can do this. The second example is what I'm just going to call house hospitality. Just about every month, and often multiple times per month, we've hosted special events at our house. During the holidays, we have as many people as we can fit into our house for things like fireworks on Independence Day, a Thanksgiving meal, especially for those who didn't have family or a place to go for Thanksgiving, a Christmas party with this huge white elephant gift exchange every year, and so forth. From Memorial Day to Labor Day, we had regular cookouts in our backyard with usually around 20 to 30 people attending them. We hosted movie nights, Super Bowl parties, fantasy football drafts, board game nights, dessert socials, and just about anything that we could think of to model how Jesus welcomes us in by welcoming people into our home and our lives. I've thought about it many times over the years, how gracious our God is, that we get to serve His eternal purposes by eating ice cream sundaes and playing croquet and sitting by a fire pit. I mean, how cool is that? With every event, we share a brief 3 to 5 minute devotion from the Bible so people can understand the reason we're loving on them is because Jesus loves on us. Over the years, we've been able to entertain hundreds of people in these little on-ramp events at our house. It's a wonderful way to turn your passion into your mission by turning your house into a place of hospitality for the people that you know. Think about something like fantasy football. Think about that. You could have people over to your house every Monday evening during the season and have a short devotion at halftime. With 17 weeks to a season, plus preseason, draft, and playoffs, this would be almost half a year to interact with other players with numerous opportunities to share Jesus with them. Location, invitation, devotion, anyone can do this. Now, this is a good place for me to say something about numbers. Even if you only have a few people show up at these meetups, these gatherings, these events, it's worth doing. I want you to consider this. If God were to make His appeal through you over the next year and just two people came to know Jesus, just two people, and those two people started doing this same thing next year and God saved two people from their meetups, and then those people did the same thing, and it kept going year after year, and you did nothing else after year one. And each new two people did nothing else but lead two new people in 1 year to saving faith in Christ. In 20 years, by year 20, by the grace of God, there would be 1,048,576 new Christians in the kingdom of God. And it started on your patio or your boat or the softball field, or the gym, or the movie theater. Now, I don't know how God might work through your passion, but don't be discouraged if it's just a handful of people who choose to participate. God can work through anything, and the ripple of what you start now can extend outward for decades and into eternity. All right, the third example is faithercise. I saw the slide show up earlier. I have an announcement to share with you guys today. Next month, September 7th, we are launching a new ministry called Faithercise. Faithercise will be very similar to Runner Church, except it's not just for runners. We're also including walkers and cyclists as well as runners. So it's for everyone. We'll be meeting every other Saturday morning at 8 a.m. at Gulf State Park. It'll begin with me sharing a 10-minute talk where I'll share a personal story and an encouraging message from the Bible. After we finish with a short prayer, we're going to all exercise. People who attend can either walk, run, or bike. They can do it by themselves or with others in a group. They can go at any pace and for any length that they choose. And then after finishing up, people can hang around and visit, or they can head home. And of course, we'll invite those who join us for Faithercise to come to our Sunday night Bible study at our condo. And of course, to join us here for morning worship here at Oasis, or whatever church their friend attends if they came from someone who isn't a part of Oasis. If you're interested, we would love for you to be a part of this new ministry. And really, we need about 10 to 12 people who will be a part of our launch team. Basically, all this involves is showing up and inviting people to come with you, especially unchurched people. If you'd like more information about that, then come see me or Paula after the service this morning. We have a flyer with us that's just loaded with information. We'd love to have you guys be a part of that. Location, invitation, devotion, anyone can do this. Now, I hope your perspective is changing on how you see the things that you love doing. I hope you're seeing things differently and seeing clearly the point of all of this. You can use your favorite hobby, interest, or pastime to point people to Jesus. So whether you're a soccer mom who regularly attends practice with other soccer moms, an older couple who could welcome younger couples into your home for a meal, a Crimson Tide fan who has friends over to watch the games, a family that loves to play board games, a student who socializes with other students, a boat owner who is willing to take people fishing or sightseeing, or, and listen to me, whoever you are and whatever you do and whoever you're with, that you can turn your passion into your mission. Location, invitation, devotion, say it with me, anyone can do this. Now, maybe this morning you need to first have your life and eternity change. It could be that you're here this morning and you're still living the old sinful life apart from God and haven't received the new life that is found in Jesus. Listen to me. I implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God this morning. Look one more time at verse 21 with me. It says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." God did this for your sake, for my sake, for our sake. Jesus lived the perfect life that we fail to live and died the death that we deserve to die. That is how God reconciles us. He lets us trade places with Jesus. Jesus took our sins upon himself and offers us his righteousness so we can be forgiven and made new and be reconciled and have everlasting life. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. He will no longer count your trespasses against you if you will put your faith in Jesus. And it's a free gift. What a deal. If you haven't asked God to forgive you and change you, ask him to this morning. And if you really mean it, he'll do it. Listen, you'll never regret it. It is the greatest decision you will ever make in your life. And right here, right now, you will become a new person, with a new eternity in your future and a new potential, new purpose, new power, and new pleasure in him right now in everyday life. If you'd like to talk with someone about that, there'll be some people up on the front row today. I'll be up here as well. Listen, before you leave, come up and see us and make that decision. Now, if you are already an ambassador for Christ, look at me now as we get ready to close. There is a reason that anyone can do this. In verse 20 of Matthew chapter 28, just after Jesus tells us to go make disciples, he said, "I am with you always." This is the reason that anyone can do this. Not just because it's easy, though it is, but because the presence of Jesus in your life makes it possible. He calls us, he equips us, he goes with us. Remember, God is the one who is going to make his appeal through you. All this is from God. So here's the thing. 100 years from now, it will not matter if I ran marathons, traveled across the United States in a camper van for a year, hiked at national parks, grilled burgers in my backyard, served in my community, played fantasy football, or hung out at the beach. It will matter in 100 years from now and for all eternity if I did all those same things in a way that made Jesus known so that God is honored in my audience and they are happy in him now and forever. There's a line from a poem by C.T. Studd that captures the thought very well. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I hope you will do the things you're going to do anyway and that you love doing anyway, but will do them in a way that lasts. Location, invitation, devotion. Anyone can do this through Jesus, who gives you wisdom and strength and opportunities and the very passions that you'll be using to serve his kingdom. You are an ambassador for Christ. Will you let God make his appeal for the hearts of people that you know through your hobby, interest, or pastime? Will you implore people to be reconciled to God while you're hanging out, working out, or grilling out? Will you go to the beach, to the gym, to the golf course, the movie theater, the coffee shop, or the patio for the purpose of making disciples? Will you, by the grace of God, turn your passion into your mission? Will you be encouraged and equipped by his presence and power to start right now while there is yet time to be a part of the greatest work in the universe by joining Jesus in his mission? May you use your golf and your travel and your cookouts and your classic cars and your motorcycles and your baking and your gardening and your running and your pickleball and your softball and your fishing and your pontooning and your beach going and any other hobby, interest, or passion for this great aim, to make Jesus Christ known so that God is honored in us and we are happy in him now and forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you this morning. We need you to bring people out of the darkness into your marvelous light. And then we need you to send people with your light back into the darkness. Would you enable us and encourage us and equip us to be ambassadors who go and make disciples? Do your gracious work in us and through us this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.